Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hailed.
Mike, do you rent your services for Valentine's Day? I'm thinking maybe you could sing while I eat dinner. Alyssa might be there too, I don't know. Man, that was great. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. That was wonderful. All right, we are starting February, and every February we focus on Love Month, and we always have a fun time in the month of February as we focus on relationships, we focus on friendships, marriage, different times whenever we can have focus in on our hearts and how we deal with other people. Pastor Aaron Brockett shared some thoughts on comparison, and I want to share those thoughts this morning. And sometimes in relationships, the very thing that can kill our relationship is whenever we don't hold it special, but we compare it to something else that maybe we would rather it be. Y'all with me on that? That if I see something else, and I think, man, I wish it was that, then it would be really cool. Pastor Craig O'Shell, he says the easiest and the quickest way to kill something is something special. The quickest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. And all of a sudden, this thing that I thought was really cool and really great, I just killed it because I compared it to something else. John Owen, he said this. He said, "Be killing sin, lest sin be killing you." And what are those things in our relationships that maybe they are coming in and attacking and maybe driving a wedge between? And I wish it was, and it should be, and if only we were more like. And what that does is it divides rather than unites. And so with those two thoughts, to be killing sin unless it's killing you, or killing the thing that's trying to kill you, and the idea of that we can kill something special by comparing it to something else, with those two things in mind, I want to dive in here this morning. If you would, flip with me in your Bibles to the book of John. We're going to start in John chapter 20. Just recently, I was working on a bed for Alyssa and I built this bed and built a frame, and underneath the bed, it's got sliding boxes that were made out of crates that I chopped up these crates and made these boxes that we can put our clothes in, so there's storage underneath the bed. It's really cool. I don't know what you call it. Is it shiplap or, I don't know, those crate boards that you put on the headboard? What's it called? Pallets? Yeah, pallets. That's what it's called. That's what it's called. And I put it on the headboard, and I got these two big beam posts coming down. I mean, this bed, it's got like a double frame inside of it. This thing was built for war. I mean, it's just awesome. This thing is really, really neat. Until we turn on HDTV and I see Chip Gaines. And Chip and Joanna Gaines built a bed. I'm like, oh my gosh, my bed is terrible. Like, why didn't I think of doing that and doing the double screw mount job up underneath and twist it? And that would have been cool. And I really liked mine until I saw Chip and Joanna's. And then I compared it. I'm like, oh, what a bummer. This just isn't what I could have done. It's not what it could have been. Anybody watch Fixer Upper out there? Don't you hate those guys? Just recently, Alyssa got the book, The Magnolia Story. Magnolia Story, yeah, for Christmas. She's been reading this book and reading it to me, and we're just falling in love with Chip and Joanna, more so the grind that it took them to get there. The work that nobody saw. Sure, we all see them. They got a great TV show, and they're on TV, and it's a big deal. The underlining story when they were in secret doing the same stuff that nobody knew, it wasn't televised, and the sweat and the hustle and the unity and the drive that it took to get to where they are. That's the part that I fell in love with. I'd never seen the TV show before. And now I'm binge watching on demand Fixer Upper and thinking, how lame are the little projects I've tried to put together? But I'm getting inspired, right? And so comparison that maybe makes you more better, I guess, is okay. But man, it's just, I compare myself and I get worse. I'm like, this is terrible. Anybody ever want to feel really bad about yourself? Hop on Instagram. It's great. It's a great model just to feel terrible. And you flip through and you're like, oh, cool, look. Here's all my friends. They're all together in one picture. They're all here together. It's New Year's Eve, and I'm in my pajamas. I recognize everyone in this picture. Why am I not in this picture? I guess I'll just stay home and sip on my sparkling Welch's grape juice. I really treated myself because it's Welch's. And we can feel worse about ourselves. How many of y'all have ever seen that picture on Instagram where it's the picture of like the feet in the sand with the drink and the book? Y'all know what picture I'm talking about? Don't you hate that picture? It's like, what are they? They're on another cruise? They just got back from the Bahamas. How are they able to do this? I can't even afford a weekend in Gatlinburg. I would just like to go to Kokomo for dinner. That would be great. And we can compare ourselves, right? And I hate that book. I hate that sand. I hate that drink. Actually, that's my favorite drink, but I hate it right now. And I hate that they got to go there, and I hate that they got to do this. And then you like it, and you move on, and you go on to the next picture. Isn't it fascinating? When we compare ourselves, and we can easily compare our lives, and whenever they put their best foot forward, and my best just isn't really that, and we can compare who's got followers, or who's got influence, or who's doing what with their jobs and their careers, and man, I'm 50, I should be at this place because my buddy is, and I should be at this, I don't know, whatever. We just kind of compare ourselves amongst ourselves, and the thing that I thought was really good just isn't. Gatlinburg isn't cool. If I could be in Hawaii, Kokomo isn't cool. If I could be in Gatlinburg, right? On and on, and we just can compare ourselves. And when we look at friendships, when we look at maybe even marriage, we go to a very dangerous spot when we say, I wish my husband was more like that guy. Because the heart gets distracted by something else that you're not in covenant with. And it gets entertained and it gets fluttered a little bit and it starts getting pulled into a place that it should not go. Man, if only my wife had that body, then. If only my, right, honor, if I would have had those parents, if my kids would just be like that, right? And when we do that stuff, we start entertaining all kinds of ungodliness. Rather than, this is my life. This is where God has put me. This is what he's doing with my calling. This is the town that he's put me in. This is the job. These are the skill sets that he's got. And I got to have an amazing amount of self-awareness and humility to say, this is who I am. These are the decisions I've made. This is the spot that I'm at. And I've got to go from here and give my best to the Lord from this point forward. Hopefully one day you take a shot like that and you're on the sand and the beach and the drink and the book. But you're in Fairmount, Indiana right now. And I'm going to be all in Fairmount, Summitville, Marion, Upland, wherever you are, to be all in that spot. So rather than being distracted by comparing, be all in on what God has called you to do. In John chapter 20 and in verse number one, check this out. I'm actually going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. I've got the scriptures up here for you. In the New Living, because there's a couple points of emphasis. But what we see, the book of John is written by the disciple John. And if anybody knows what it should be like to be a follower of Jesus, it would be his disciples, right? And so we're called not to be like everybody else. We're called to be like Jesus. And so here he is. He's presenting the gospel of John to us. And John, after a while, is annoying because he refers to himself in the third person. You ever been in a conversation with somebody that refers to themselves in the third person? I got it. I'm right in front of you. We're all here. I understand. And John refers to himself in the third person, and he pops his collar, saying that he's got a special relationship with Jesus. He says, there were other disciples around, but there was one that Jesus loved. It's fascinating. And I'm going to read the scripture to you. I'm not making anything up, but he says, yeah, there was 12 of us, but there was one that Jesus loved. Well, why didn't Jesus love all of them, John? Well, yeah, he did, but there was one. And it just so happened to be me. Isn't that? What are the random chances of that? And I'm going to write about it, and it's going to be so amazing that they're going to put it in the canonized scriptures for everyone to know forever. I was the one. And then there's somebody else that kind of has this out there personality. His name is Peter. Peter's always putting his foot in his mouth, right? They show up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter's like, this is amazing. Jesus is there, and Moses and Elijah, and everybody shows up, and Peter's like, let's build a church here. Let's stay here. Forget everybody else. This will be the new temple of God. And Jesus is like, shut up, Peter. You're acting like the devil. Get behind me right now. Peter says, Jesus, if everyone denies you, not me, I'm the man. I'm going to do it. And the whole Roman soldiers come at Peter, and he takes a sword and starts chopping ears off. It's unbelievable. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he starts swinging at the Roman soldiers. I mean, this guy's crazy. And then a little schoolgirl comes up. Did you know Jesus? No, not me. I didn't know. He's ready to take on the Roman soldiers, but not a four-year-old? Fascinating, huh? Peter, this guy. Peter ends up being the guy that kicks off the whole revival of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, it was Peter the Holy Spirit came upon. So we see these two kind of seemingly big personalities with John boasting in who he is and his relationship with Jesus, and Peter being this guy, and Peter has this revelation of Jesus, and he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Peter, it's you. You're going to be the one. There was another story in the Bible where the disciples are calling shotgun. They're saying, I want to be in shotgun. You ever do that with your brother and sister? I'm in the front. These guys start calling shotgun in heaven. They say, Jesus, I want to sit beside you for all of eternity in heaven. Can I sit at your right hand, at your left hand? Can I do this? And the argument gets to be so big that they call their moms in. Now, when you call mom in, that's just at a whole nother level. It's like when you get in trouble at school, and so you get mom on the phone, and when mom comes walking in, you know, you're the principal, you got to stand up straight because mama's in the house. And they start calling their moms into Jesus. Jesus, come on, let my son do it. My son needs to be, and he needs to be, right? That's what they did. They called shotgun for heaven. Crazy, isn't it? So here these guys are going after. So John chapter 20, and in verse 1, what's happening here? Jesus was just crucified. He's buried in this tomb, and they're preparing. They got to prepare his body quickly because it was Friday when he was, we don't know, we're just guessing Friday, but it was one of these that we believe, so maybe it was a Thursday, but as far as how their Sabbath works out, it was one day that he was murdered, it was 2 days that he was in the tomb, and on the third day they had to have body preparations, but it was going to be the Sabbath, and they can't work on the Sabbath, right? And so they're hustling and they're running to get here, and it says, early on this Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple. The other disciple is John, okay? And he's writing about himself. He didn't say it was me. He said, well, there's this other. I don't know. There's this other guy. Other disciple here. The other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, she said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Any of you try to be your parents' favorite? Did anybody ever try to be like that? Like, Dad, I know I'm your favorite, or I'm your oldest, or I'm your youngest daughter. You're going to miss me when I'm gone. You better love on me now. John is saying, I'm the best. I'm the favorite from Jesus. Megan, are you kind of smiling real big? Yeah, you're going to miss this when it's gone. He goes on here in verse 3. Peter and the other disciple, this is Peter and John, they started out for the tomb. They both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and he reached the tomb first. John, who cares? But I know, we were in a foot race, we're trying to get to Jesus, and I'm faster. And me and Peter were running, and I got there first. I got there first. Jesus, I know you were just killed. I know you're about to raise from the dead. I know there's all that stuff going on, but I was first, okay? Got it? And I want everyone to know throughout all of history, I'm faster than Peter. Got it? Can we keep that part in there, Jesus? Because that was a cool part of the story. Drop down to verse 6. He says, Then Simon Peter arrived. And he went inside. Is that hilarious? He's like, then Peter showed up. I was already there. I checked my Fitbit. My heart rate was already dropping. I was already fine. I was in great condition. I was in good shape. I had run a mile and a half. My heart rate never got over 60. He comes in. It's 125. He's out of breath. He finally shows up. Then Peter arrives. Interesting little piece here, a little rivalry. We see what happens whenever Peter had done the three denials and Jesus is resurrected, right? And he comes back and he has this moment of encounter with Peter, and he asks him these three questions, right? Do you love me? He keeps asking, do you love me? And he asks him three times for these three denials. Flip over to John chapter 21 and check this out in verse 7. So the very next chapter. Then the disciple that Jesus loved, oh my gosh, John, we got it. The disciple that Jesus loved, he said to Peter, it is the Lord. Like, I'm the one who could tell. You are the one that denied him, but I'm the one who can tell that it's Jesus. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. This is like underwear, okay? And the Bible goes, he says, for he had stripped down for work, jumped into the water, and he headed to shore. Showing up to Jesus' resurrection in your underwear is not overly flattering. And John wants everybody to know, I was there, I recognized Jesus, and here's Peter. He's skinny dipping. Peter's over here. He's not awesome, okay? I just want to remind you. He's over here in his skivvies. He's working out in public, and then he jumps into the water. Gosh, this guy's embarrassing. Can you believe this guy? Jesus then asks Peter, do you love me three times? And John wanted to make sure we knew that he was put in there. Jesus had this conversation with Peter. Peter, do you even love me? John chapter 21 and verse 20, look at this. Peter turns around and he saw behind them the disciple that Jesus loved. Here's what's going on. They're walking along the beach, and Jesus is talking to Peter. And he's saying, hey, I want to restore you, and I want to give this great call in your life, and I want to do this in you. And Peter is looking behind him. But what about him, Jesus? What about John? What about that person? What about them over there? There's this rivalry going on. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do about that guy? The one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter said, hey, y'all remember that story? I just want to remind you again that this thing happened. It was Peter. He's a clown. Verse 21, Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? What about the one who's on your chest, the one whom you love? And Jesus replied with this, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. Focus on you. Now, I don't know that, I mean, perhaps I'm the one reading into this too much, but it seems like maybe there was comparison. It seems like maybe they were trying to outdo each other. I'll tell you this, do you all remember the $30 message from last week? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says one of the things about love, if you operate in love, love does not envy. Ugh. What I find is whenever I compare myself and I compare my marriage and I compare my, I don't know, whatever, finances, looks, influence, all of those things that we all want. That I move from comparison to envy. And envy is, I just don't appreciate it, but I want it. And I covet it. Rather than just thankful for my spot, I want something else. Peter is walking with Jesus, and his focus wasn't even on himself. His focus is on John. If I'm having an encounter with Jesus, everybody else is silent. I can't hear anything else. Peter's walking with Jesus, and he's focused on somebody else. What is it that Jesus has called you to do? What is it that God has called specifically you to do? Right? Something within you. Anybody remember the comedian Bob Newhart? Anybody know that? He had this skit where he was a psychiatrist. Wouldn't that be a riot, having him as your psychiatrist? And you come in, there's this lady that comes in, and she's frustrated and flustered, and she's got all these worries and concerns and all this sort of stuff. And he says, I'm going to charge you $5 for this session. She goes, $5? This is great. I can afford this. And he goes, because it's only going to take 5 minutes. And he says, you tell me the problem, and then I'll just give you the solution. So she tells her this whole problem. He goes, great, that's 3 minutes. I'm only going to charge you $3 because I'm going to give you two words. And here's the two words. Stop it. Yeah, but I got to do this and I got to do this. Stop it. Wouldn't it be great if the Bible would just say, you want to operate in love, don't you? Well, yeah, I want to operate in love. Well, it says don't envy. Well, I know, but I kind of want to compare and I want to envy. Then stop it. Just stop it. But the Bible doesn't do that, and so we don't do that as psychiatrists, and you know, you can go and pay a fortune for them. Just basically tell you, stop it, change your ways. And so here he's saying, to operate in love, like we talked about last week, it doesn't envy. And I'll even tell you this, not even just envying somebody else, to be with someone and want someone else. Want characters and attributes of someone else. And no doubt we can want something because we're moving toward it and we want to be awesome. We want to maybe glean from great marriages. We want to glean from great friendships and relationships. Absolutely, yes. But not where the heart gets off in this sinful spot of envy and coveting. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set for us. Just for me, not the race for Dennis. I'm not supposed to race in Dennis's race. He's got his own, and nor Dennis mine. And Peyton, what is it that God's put on Peyton? Because it's unique and it's different than anybody else. And to say, man, I wish I would have, could have, should have, you know. No, God, this is where I'm at. Peyton, this is where you're at. This is what God has called you to do that I never will do. And I got to be okay with that because what God has called you to do is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be great. And he goes on here in verse 2, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Wouldn't it have been cool if Peter could have read Hebrews chapter 12 right before he had this moment with Jesus? Hey, Peter, just keep your eyes on Jesus, brother. Don't look at John. Don't look at everybody else. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at Instagram. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at Chip and Joanna Gaines. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I know you tried to nail that bed in and you busted your thumb up. Hey, thumbs up, man. You did it. And keep your eyes on Jesus. And you can operate in a whole different reality when the heart is focused on the right things. Theodore Roosevelt, he said this. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. And you want joy to exit your life, just start comparing. Just compare yourself. Because either somebody ends up one up and you're one down, or they're one down and you're one up, and we just are jostling for positions. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'll tell you what happens. The more whole and healthy you become, the better you can become as a love person in relationships. You just can. Marriage will get stronger. Friendships will get stronger. Life will get stronger the more freed up we are. So Hebrews 12, let's free ourselves from these sins that can so easily entangle us. Let's get rid of the thing that's trying to wipe us out. And let's get right with Jesus. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Jesus, I pray that you would clear our hearts. These things that can trip us up so fast. And we can just kill the thing that's special in our life. That thing that maybe you've called us to, but it doesn't look like this person or that person, and so we don't value it. Lord, I pray that you would restore the value of our marriage. Restore the value of our friendships. Restore the value of our calling. Restore the purpose and the passion and the why of why we exist, Father. I pray that you would awaken that self-awareness to what you've called us to, where you have us at. Lord, let us move toward worship and gratitude and thankfulness for what you've called us into in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We bless you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.